Hi everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Money Making Mothers, where I'm joined by the legend that is Leah Turner, who is an absolute phenomenon on LinkedIn. So thank you so much, Leah, for joining me today. Can you please explain to the listeners what it is that you do?
Thank you for having me. So I guess in a nutshell, what I do is I teach individuals and businesses how to leverage LinkedIn to generate inbound leads through content marketing and social selling. So literally no cold selling, no DMing, just connecting with the right people, posting content that resonates with them, and generating a lot of business from it. Dex, quiet please.
6 weeks holidays. So how was it that started? Like, where, how did you come across LinkedIn, and how did this obviously begin where you realized you could actually start using this as a business?
So in October 2019, I'd sort of been having a look around on LinkedIn for a little while, but hadn't really posted anything or made anything.
Is that
of it?
Is that all you've been on there?
Yeah.
Less than 2 years?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, anyone who actually knows LinkedIn will understand why I'm saying that, because that is insane.
So I had a little transcription business and I just needed some extra business. I had no marketing budget, but I needed some more clients because I wanted to grow the business. I wanted to take some people on to work with me and support some other mums in business, because transcribing generally is a female led and it's very flexible. You can do it around your children. So yeah. I was taking on freelancers. Yes, darling. So she needed, one lady particularly needed some work. So I was like, I'll get some more work. Give me a couple of months. And I went to LinkedIn thinking, I'll give it a go. I think I'd had a few emails randomly through from LinkedIn and I was like, oh yeah, there's this other platform. Maybe I'll have a look at it. And at first I just didn't fit in at all. I didn't know what I was doing and I felt so awkward. I was like, I do not belong on here. And then I just decided, well, I'll give it a go. I had a logo for a profile picture, so I ended up putting my own profile picture up and posting what I wanted rather than trying to impress other people. I've been trying to impress other people and failing because I wasn't like super professional. I wasn't a white collar worker. I didn't really know what I was talking about. So I posted a few things where I was just being myself, being a bit silly, being a bit funny, and my following started to grow. So it went from 400 to over 10,000 in the first couple of months.
That's insane.
Which was mad. But I didn't know that that was weird, because I wasn't chasing numbers. That it wasn't about that for me. And someone said to me, like, that's really fast. I was like, is it? Because I have no basis for comparison on LinkedIn. And then it just kept growing and growing. And when COVID hit, a lot of my clients were drastically affected, because they couldn't see their own clients. So they weren't generating work for me. So I had grown from October 2019 to February 2020, my business had gone from just me to me plus a team of 5 part-time ladies working with me, all from inbound leads on LinkedIn. I'd had 60 or 70 clients from LinkedIn at that point, all messaged me for work. And it became quite apparent I was good at marketing myself, and my following had grown. And
just a
kept
bit,
asking me,
just a little bit good at marketing. Please.
People kept asking me for tips on how to be better on LinkedIn. And I was like, well, my business has sort of gone down the pan a little bit. Like, I still had enough for me, but not, there was no room to grow with my business, really. Not to ever make it hugely successful and make a significant amount of money. It was always going to be a low earning job. Yeah. Even with a great big team, the margins are very low on transcription. So I started teaching LinkedIn.
Was that in like February or March? When was that?
April the 29th, I gave my first free LinkedIn training session to somebody. And I went, do you think I could charge for this? And they went, yeah, absolutely. You've given me tons of stuff. And they were £99 after that. And I've pretty much been, I think I started actually selling them at the end of May. And I've pretty much been booked up ever since. And I charge a lot more than that now.
What do you charge now?
A one-to-one is currently £599 for 90 minutes.
That's insane.
But But yeah, I'm even still, I get told by people, you're not charging enough. Like, the value that you provide in that training, people come off my training and within days, they, not every time, depending on what their service is, but I have literally had people who have done things that I've recommended within hours, they've had their first lead within 24 hours. I had one workshop that I hosted recently where the guy started doing my advice while I was speaking. And within 20 minutes of the session ending, he has a lead in his inbox.
Wow. Like, it's, when I'm saying, like, that's insane, I'm not meaning the value in terms of the price. I mean, it's mental that you could literally have started not even a year ago and the amount go up that much and it's still being such a demand. Just shows how amazing it is what you're doing, that you don't realise how much value you bring in until you see that people are willing to spend more.
Yeah, well, it's I guess people, when they know how to market themselves, it's not just the skill that I'm teaching doesn't just get them bookings next week, next month. It means that they are able to generate business for themselves for the next few years or for however long they need to. Sorry, hold on. I'm being pestered for snacks and drinks. There you go.
All right.
It's literally, I liken it to, you know, that you teach a man, give a man a fish and he can eat it for a day, right? But if I teach them the, it's not just the how to I do on LinkedIn, it's the why.
Yeah.
Why what I teach you is so important, why it's so effective, and then how you can implement those things and keep it going. And when people get the why behind it, the how and the what makes way more sense. Yeah. And they're so much more motivated to do it because they start really connecting the benefits and going, I get it, I get why this is so powerful.
Well,
I
remember the first time I actually messaged you was about you were getting some negative feedback, and obviously everywhere on social media you get negative feedback, but do you get a lot of it because you were probably, I know for me, you were one of the first in my network to basically be like, look, you do what you want and be who you are and that's the end of it. And did you get, in terms of negativity versus positivity, is it much less, or have you just learned to deal with it better?
I don't get a lot of negativity, I'll be totally honest. For somebody that is as prominent as I am on there, I do not come up against much negativity. And that actually surprises me. I get inappropriate messages from men a couple of times a day, people just trying their luck. I can't tell you the last time I had a message, an actual message from someone that was unpleasant, as in trying to criticize me or offend me.
Yeah.
Yes, I get the inappropriate DMs, and unfortunately, that's just something we all have to deal with online. I don't like that that's a thing, but it is, and I do my best to combat it, but I'm only one woman. But I don't ever, I genuinely cannot tell you the last time someone actually messaged me to criticize me or say something horrible to me. It doesn't really happen. And every now and then someone will pop up on one of my posts who clearly isn't familiar with who I am and the brand and what I represent on there. And they'll say something, and quite often I can sort of reply and they'll go, oh, actually, I didn't mean that. Or I didn't understand. Sometimes you do just get negative people, but it's considering how much engagement I get, it's very little.
That's amazing.
Very little.
It's really good. It's hard to, like, sometimes even, like, even the little bits that I have had, you tend to focus, well, I did anyway, like, you tend to focus on the negative rather than looking at, say, the 100 people who said something nice, that one person who's you know, tried to make you look stupid or say that what you're doing is wrong. That's the one that I've concentrated on, when really you should. That's
See, I don't coach. Do that. I don't do that.
Learn how to not do that.
I think I've had it my whole life, though, because I've always been heavily tattooed and I've always looked slightly out of the ordinary. I've always come up with people that don't like me for ridiculous reasons. They've just made a decision about me without really knowing me and what my motivations are and who I really am and what my backstory is. And I think the people who do know my backstory and the people who understand why I am the way I am, they don't dislike me for it. Some of them I'm not I'm just not their kind of person, and we don't spend any yeah. time together, and that's fine, but they're not actively unpleasant or unkind. And I think, I guess the brand that I've created is one that more than anything promotes that inclusivity and kindness. And I'm not perfect. Like, there are times where I will snap and I'm just like, and I'll be a bit kind of pissed off about somebody's behavior. And I will stand up to people, but I'm not very often outright rude, and I'm not aggressive or offensive. I can just be quite like sharp and sarcastic sometimes. Yeah. So the negativity side of things, I don't deal with it. I just choose not to deal with it. I either stand up to it or I delete it. I'm like, do you know what? I don't need to look at this. This does not have to factor into my life. I have total control here. Yeah. I can delete that comment if it makes me feel bad, and I can forget it exists. But I'm very lucky. For every negative message I might get or negative comment I might get, I probably get 1,000 wonderful ones. And I get 10 DMs a day from people telling me that something I said has helped them or inspired them or benefited them in some way. And that has to outbalance it, because they're, it sounds well worthy, but they make it worth doing. And I was having a conversation with a friend yesterday. I wouldn't, if the only benefit to me being on LinkedIn and being this prominent was money, I wouldn't do it. Because I'm not interested in making tons of money. It's lovely that I now am able to do more for my family and create a better life. But that was never the motivation. And if I had to be this prominent and this known, deal with this much interaction, and the only outcome was money, I wouldn't do it. But the outcome that I get is being able to positively impact other people's lives and use the platform to lift other people up as well as lift myself up. And that for me is what makes it worthwhile doing. If it was simply money, I just wouldn't, because I don't actually like being the center of attention. As ironic as that seems, I've always been the person at a party that's like sat chatting with a small group of people or on the floor in the kitchen with the dog. I'm not like the life of soul.
Not this focus. Christmas, you're going to be sponsored by Vera Wang.
I know. Gosh, that's going to be.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you've got to say where, well, what we're talking, just over a year ago, you started selling, you know, marketing courses for LinkedIn, to say what it is now is just absolutely incredible. And where do you see it going? So if the main like motivation isn't money, ideally what would it be like? What would you be achieving in the next 5-10 years?
So the first thing is I'm buying a house for me and my son, which has never, ever, ever been possible before. We've lived in 6 different houses in under 6 years. Bloody so bloody. Because of rentals. And so finally, you know, this time last year, I didn't even have on the way to a house deposit. And now I'm looking at buying a 4-bed detached house.
That's class. So well done.
Awesome. Like that's my biggest, right. We're going to buy a house and we're going to have our own home and we're going to have sort of, security. I want to release more digital courses. My digital course has been really popular so far, and I'm not actually really even marketing it at the moment. It's just selling itself through my website and through my profile on LinkedIn, and that does really well, and the feedback on it is incredible. One lady did the course and she felt so able to be herself. She posted a picture of herself because she got alopecia and she's got a mandala tattooed on her head, and she's always worn wigs and always been in wigs in her pictures on LinkedIn. She felt so able to be herself after doing my course that she posted a picture of herself with her bald head, and it had over 100,000 reactions, millions of views. And wow. She literally had message after message. Her LinkedIn just crashed. It couldn't deal with all the messages she was getting about people wanting to work with her. And it's totally changed her life from one post. That's a £180 course that's just completely changed her life. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. So I want to do more of those, more about how to use LinkedIn, how to create content. That I really want to do. But more than anything, I want to start doing speaking work. So I've got my first keynote speech next month at a networking event for like hundreds of business professionals. So I'm like, that's quite wow. scary. And more corporate workshops as well. I really want to go into female groups, and I want to go into companies and actually talk about why they need to be using LinkedIn and deliver workshops on how they can really be leveraging it, and not in a cold selling way, in a building their own personal brands, growing their own professional networks as a future insurance policy for them professionally, but also to help build the brand of the company. Influencer marketing is huge, and creating brand ambassadors is huge. But if you have staff on LinkedIn, you've already got brand ambassadors. Use them.
Yeah.
And let them be themselves to do that.
Do you feel as if you've, obviously, because you weren't originally, that wasn't the plan to go onto a LinkedIn and create where you have created. Do you feel as if like you've literally fell into it and your passion's been born and you found what you meant to do?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that have come into, lots of factors that have combined that have made me realize that I'm really very good at marketing. And one of them has been being surrounded by marketers going, Jesus Christ, you're like naturally good at this. I don't know anything about marketing. I didn't even know what a personal brand was 2 years ago. I couldn't have even told you really what a marketer did, but my natural personality traits and talents, I guess, which 2 years ago I didn't even know I had.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, I get how people are going to react to things, and I can kind of predict, so I can create content that I know is going to resonate with them. Content from my own life. I can also pick up content on somebody else's. Stop it. Like other people. So if I sit in front of somebody and I say, okay, tell me about your life, tell me about your journey, and I can go, that's going to make a great post, that will make a great post, that is really fascinating, people will resonate and love that. And that's like, and then I make them realize that they are interesting, and they go, oh, like I always just thought I had nothing to talk about, I thought that would be boring. And I'm like, no, this is content. And they go, oh, their heads explode, and suddenly the light bulbs all come on, and they realize that there is so much valuable content in their journey, not just in what they're doing now, in the journey that they've been on, that other people can learn and benefit from. And that, I love doing that, because they come away like buzzing with excitement, because what they previously thought was something that they never could do is suddenly possible and easy. Like, they're not intimidated by it. Some people need a little bit more like guidance further on, but the majority of people go off and they go away with strategy and clarity and go, this is not nearly as scary as I thought it was, and now I understand the importance of sharing pictures of my life and talking about this. It makes perfect sense.
And as well, I suppose you're giving people confidence to actually just believe in who they are is good enough, exactly as they are, rather than worrying about how much like they've achieved, looking at what they've actually been through and what they've done and the value in it, which would do massive amounts for people's confidence. Because a lot of the time, especially on all of them to be fair, but LinkedIn, like it is a bit daunting when you look at people, you know, I've done this, I've done that, I've got this far, I'm this far up in a company, you think, oh, well, I'm shit compared to that. But
everybody that you're looking at was where you are now at some point.
Yeah, you don't realize what they've done or where they've been. Like, that's what I mean.
But that's why it's so important for those people that are the one. So for me, like, people now look up to me and go, oh, wow, you've achieved so much. But if I only ever share about now and the future, people just go, oh, you know, I'll never be able to do that. But if I talk about how I do it and where I came from to get to where I am, people go, well, she's done that in a year, I can give that a go. Yeah. I can try that. Right. And it suddenly makes it possible. If you're just talking about, you know, flying about on private jets and yachts and blah blah blah, people are just like, oh wow, that's amazing, but I'll never do that. And it just comes across as bragging. But if you actually give context and say, this is where I started and this is how I did it and this is how you can do it, they're much more interested and they can relate to it. So
how have you managed to do everything you've done whilst being a single mum?
I have no idea. You know, when you look back and you're like, how the hell did I make it through all those sleepless nights with a newborn? I just look back and go, huh?
Like, was it? It's always been just you and Dex.
Yeah, yeah. It's only ever been me and Dex, and we've got two dogs, and My neighbour, she's very good and she helps out with babysitting when she can. But during the pandemic, she couldn't help at all because she's vulnerable and her elderly mum's vulnerable that she was caring for. So it was literally just us. All the lockdowns, it was, apart from the last one where she was able to do some one-to-one when he wasn't at school during the last lockdown, we isolated as well. So we created a bubble.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm talking about you. Darling, can you please stop interrupting? I'm nearly done. We created a bubble. So she was homeschooling him 2 hours a day. And because I was really struggling to get any kind of focus out of him myself. So she was doing 2 hours of focus learning with him every single day, which gave me time to still run my coaching sessions. But I'm still trying to keep the house clean, keep the dogs walked, keep him fed and entertained and not feeling lonely and working late at night and keeping up all my engagement on LinkedIn and answering all of my messages. It was the last lockdown that we had from like Christmas. That is the hardest period of my life ever. Absolutely. Like I dragged myself through it. And there were times where I just didn't think I was going to get through it. I was ready to throw in the towel with LinkedIn. I was just properly really? Like, I'm exhausted. Because I was drained. And it was like from the moment I woke up to the moment I went to bed, people wanted something from me. And it's not just my son that needs things from me. It's like literally my DMs with charities and people begging for me to support their posts, to share this. Can I give them free advice for this? Can I do this? Can I do that? I've got my Instagram popping off. I've got emails coming in constantly. I've got no support. I had no VA, no one helping me at that point. You know, literally, not to mention like all my friends that we were all going through difficult times, and I just was completely and utterly on my own. And they were just, and my son's behavior was not good because he was bored and he's like 5 years old on his own with no friends to play with. And all he wants to do is play with me, but I'm absolutely exhausted and physically and mentally drained. I just was like,
it's something that you've got to do constant as well, isn't it? Like that it's not as if. Like, I'll be honest, like, obviously my level of LinkedIn is not even anywhere near your scale, but like, I know that if I don't post at least 3 times a week that I see a massive drop, and I've been bad the last 2 weeks and I've barely posted and it's bothered me so much. But at the same time, I'm like, I can't, something's got to give, and my social media's suffered. But with you and what you do, if you stop posting and you stop being interacting on it, that's your like bread and butter, isn't it? Like you can't.
Yeah, there is that. And obviously that does play on my mind. I don't think me taking a week off would be too catastrophic. But also it's, especially during the pandemic, it was also my only adult interaction.
Mm.
And that sounds terribly sad, but I was lonely. I was really lonely because it was literally me and my 5-year-old son. And when he goes to bed in the evening, I would just work. I would work, not always because I had to, but because I had nothing else to do. And it stopped me from feeling so isolated, having other adults to interact with and Zoom calls to have and all that. Because otherwise I was just losing my mind on my own in the house all the time. Like it was so, so isolating. Although it was part of the work and it was an extra thing that I had to keep doing, if I didn't do it, I suffered because I felt lonely. So it was kind of a necessary evil. It's this year has been, especially the first sort of 4 months of this year, hardest part of my life ever. Like I would probably happily go through a C-section and breastfeeding a newborn while working full time again then have to do another lockdown.
Well, are you gonna, how do you like see juggling, because obviously the company, what you're building, is just going to grow and grow and grow, and how do you see, hopefully with everything going back to normal, like how will you juggle motherhood and scaling?
So when he goes back to school, he likes to do his after school clubs because he doesn't have any brothers or sisters. It's nice for him to be able to do some like free play after schools. Yeah. So he goes into school at 9 o'clock and then comes home at 5. And then he gets some actual proper play time with his friends as well. And just that like 3 times a week. But we will be moving to Manchester, where I've got family nearby, we're relocating up there when I buy a home. So we've got family nearby that I know will be very helpful where they can. Obviously, I'm in a situation now where I can potentially afford childcare if it becomes necessary. Hopefully, if I get to do international travel, I will be able to take him with me if I can afford to. And if we get to do like international speaking events, I will try to pair that with, right, we'll go away and have a few days in wherever I'm working as well, which would be amazing. So we'll cross that bridge when I come to it.
How inspiring.
I'm not really one that worries about the future.
How inspiring is that though? Like literally 2 years ago, wasn't a thing, and now it's international traveling and speaking like on an international basis. Like that is.
I would love to do that. That I think that's my biggest goal. TEDx have, yeah.
No way.
I'm not allowed to like announce it or anything yet, but it's a very distinct possibility. So that's quite exciting. Wow. Yeah.
It blows my mind, you know, and I really didn't think it was that. You'd only been doing it like less than 2 years. I can't get my head around that. Like that is just.
I just hit 90,000 followers. It's just like, what?
It's insane. Like if that just says you were meant to do it. Like for me, I believe in everything happens for a reason and what's meant to be will be. And you were clearly meant to be doing what you're doing. To have grown the way you have and to be so good at it and not even realize that you're going to be that good at it. Is just
incredible. I think that's been part of what's probably endeared me to people though, is that I didn't go in with the goal to do this. It's been this sort of like people have grown with me and they've seen me go from this kind of unsure little girl that runs this small business to this sort of fully fledged, confident, capable woman who says something's going to happen and then just works tirelessly until she makes it happen. And I guess that's part of me that's always been there, but I've not really had the confidence to embrace it and go for my full potential. And LinkedIn and being surrounded by so many powerful, successful women has made me go, oh, I can do that too. There's no reason I can't do that. And that's empowered me and made me realize that I'm not content with what I have and I want more, and given me the sort of ambition to go for it. I've always thought that I was doing all right. And then I was surrounding myself by other people and I was like, hold on a minute, I'm playing small. I can do more than this. Why aren't I doing more than this? And so I've started to reach for the stars, and the more I reach, the more I grasp, and I'm not done yet.
I find that honestly that like that gives me like little butterflies, like just that, because it's so you get yourself in this like imposter syndrome, like Matt, you don't realize how I got just, it's not anywhere near yours, but like the other day I was asked to be nominated for this award locally and I was like, why would they ask me? And I was just so like took back that they'd ask, and I had to fill in this form of, you know, the form made you look at what you'd done, rather than I always think, oh, I haven't done that, it made me look at what I've done. And when I put it down, I was like, it's actually quite a lot that really in that short space of time. But you never sit idle anywhere. And I never
always focused on what's the next thing to do. But that's part of being a busy working mum, is that you don't have time to take that breath and go, look at what I've achieved, because there is always something. There's always another load of laundry. There's always another meal that needs to be cooked. There's always a supermarket shop. There's always a list to do as long as your arm. And it's so hard to stop and go, hold on a minute. I've booked £5,000 worth of work this week. And I've had an impact on this person. He's come out to his family because something I said inspired him to be himself. And this woman that I trained has just managed to book £2,000 worth of work yesterday. And then I go, well, actually, do you know what? That's quite a lot. But I never have time to actually sit and do that, because there is always an oppressive amount of things that I still need to do, and constantly thinking that I'm not doing enough because my son needs to be fed, or the cupboards are empty, or the dogs are running around my feet because they need to go for a walk. And all I'm thinking about is, oh my God, I've got so much to do today.
Yeah.
And the rest of this week. And actually I'm not thinking about the things I have achieved. I try, but I also get a bit overwhelmed by it, because it's not because I've achieved so much, I don't mean it like that, but like when I look back at what's happened this past 18 months or so, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's all mental. Like, you can't take that kind of stuff in. My life is, it feels like some ridiculous movie script, and I'm waiting to wake up and go, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
it was just a dream. Like, that shit doesn't really happen to me, you know?
Yeah, but it like, is bloody hell, and you
my
need
son's to... outside, by the way, if anyone thinks I'm just like effing and Jeff.
I have Jeff all the time, sorry. I constantly do. I've tried my hardest not to today because I knew he was there. But like, I really think you need to do so much, like, in terms of like female empowerment, and like everything you've just said there is so inspiring and motivating to those who think that it's not possible. Like, you are proof that it is possible. Like, you can literally do anything you want, and as long as you are doing it because it makes you, like, all I've heard throughout this is that you do it because you love it and it makes you feel good, and it's not just about the money. Like, that part is so much more, it's so underrated. Like, actually loving what you do. Like,
if I didn't love it, I wouldn't do it.
It's and that so wouldn't, many people
I wouldn't care if they were offering me $500,000 or $1 million. I lost my dad when he was 41 and I was 10. And although he was only young, he'd been around the world twice. He'd known true love. He'd had children. He'd been married. Like, he mattered to the people around him. Like, people loved him. He was a window cleaner, right? He made no money. But when he died, his funeral was packed, absolutely full to bursting point. And I remember being 10 years old, standing in that funeral and going, there are so many people here to see my dad. And people were devastated to have lost him because he was always cheerful. He would always bring a smile to people's faces. And for me, I want to leave this world knowing I made an impact. Don't give a crap about money. I'm not taking any of that with me. I want to leave a legacy where people go, she mattered to us and she helped. She did everything she could to support the people around her and make the world and the people around her better. That, to me, is what will make my dad proud of me. And so my life is led, and it sounds so bloody, you know, cheesy, but for me, the pinnacle of success for me is to know that the people around me are benefiting from whatever it is that I do. And if I don't achieve that, then I'm not making my son proud. I'm not going to have made my dad proud. I want to make sure I leave this world a better place than when I arrived in it. And money isn't what will do that for me. Obviously, it's a facilitator. But I think the platform that I've got enables me to do much more than just make money. And that's the stuff that makes it worthwhile. If it wasn't for that, it wouldn't be worth it. I'd be focusing on something that makes me happy. But, you know, it's not just that. Having lost a parent at such a young age, I don't want to waste any of my time. I don't want to do a job that doesn't make me happy.
Yeah.
Like, I did the transcription for years and it didn't make me happy, but it allowed me to live a life that did make me happy, because I had flexibility with my work and I could travel when I wanted and I could be around for my son when I needed to be. So if I was spending 70 hours a week working on this LinkedIn stuff and not loving it,
enjoying it, yeah,
I'm wasting my life. No matter how much money I've got, I can't buy more life.
Nah. It's so that's one of my main, like, I forever, and I was stuck in it for so long. Like, for I was always I needed to be doing something that meant, gave me something that meant I felt worthwhile. Like, oh, I need to be a doctor, I need to be a solicitor, I need to have a title that makes me sound and feel better. And none of it made me feel happy. Like, I'm not saying I did any of those things, but I was always chasing the wrong thing. And similar to you, I started doing something like insurance. I never wasn't a little girl and thought, I want to sell insurance. But I started doing it literally the same. You've just said, like, for flexibility and to work around the children. And I absolutely love it. And it just so happens that, obviously, I just believe when you love something so much, you will naturally make a success and make money anyway because you love doing it.
But it's not always about what you're doing. Often it's about what you're doing gives you the life that you're allowed to, that you want to have, or it's the people that you work with that make it fun. Or it's the fact that whatever it is you're doing actually helps people and that makes you love it. Yeah. It's not always about the actual work that you're doing. It's about what happens around that. For me, do I love being on social media all day? No, honestly, that's not That's not one of the things that I love. Do I love the fact that I'm literally glued to my phone a lot of the time? No, I absolutely don't love that. But do I love having conversations with strangers? Do I love making new friends? Do I love being able to have positive impacts on people's lives? Do I like being able to be creative and use that creative side of me that makes me feel so worthwhile and happy? Because that's like my, it's like my therapy myself when I get to just go quiet and get online and create cool carousels and videos and stuff. My head goes into this like peaceful place. All of that stuff makes me happy. Social media is the vehicle that makes that possible.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be my first choice. And I do hope to escalate what I'm doing beyond social media and take it more into actual companies. And you know, I don't want to spend the rest of my life as a figurehead on social media, but it's amazing for now, and I'd love to take it further. And you know, who knows, maybe I'm going to be like the next Brené Brown.
Honestly,
like, I'm not going to be the next Brené Brown, but you know, goals.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. I could talk to you for hours. I really could. Like, you blow my mind what you've done, and your attitude. Honestly, like, your attitude, genuinely, I'm not just saying this to be corny, like, you genuinely do inspire me, and the way that you handle yourself I find admirable. So thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me today, and hopefully I know there's many listeners who'll feel they've got something from you, and you'll resonate with more people than I think you'd even realise. So thank you very much.
I hope so. Yeah.
Where will people find you? Like, where will they find you to like to
touch? Okay, so obviously on LinkedIn, Leah Turner, Leah without the H. And you can find me on Instagram, Leah does LinkedIn. There's loads of tips and tricks that I put on there, and my website leahturner.co.uk has all of my content resources, my digital course, training, events, all my other podcasts and videos that I've been on. It's all there, so knock yourself out if I've not bored you to tears yet.
Not at all. And everyone needs to get on LinkedIn, literally anybody who's running a business or trying to anything they're trying to do on social media, if they're not doing it on LinkedIn, you need to get on LinkedIn and look at the tips.
It's not just B2B, it's not just a jobs board, it's not just for corporate Collins, it's for everybody.
Right, thank you so much, love.
You've been amazing. Thank you.